encourage you to engage with the story and the life and the calling of Jonah. Jonah is a story, or as a book of the Bible, I think whenever we read the Bible, it's really good to totally enter in, however it is written. The beauty of Jonah is its narrative, it's a story, and so we can put ourselves into the story. And I want to encourage you to do that. Read Jonah, laugh as you read it, engage it, read it out loud. We read it out loud as a family this past week. And put yourself into the story. Jonah is a story of a man who receives a calling, and what he perceives is a difficult calling. And there are so many ways that we can apply the book of Jonah. I'm just going to give you one example to start this morning. Richard Stearns was raised in a very difficult family. His father was an alcoholic. He vividly remembers the moment when he, as a 10-year-old, realized that his parents couldn't help him. His father had come back from another binge after being gone for several days, and Richard felt unsafe, insecure, and very vulnerable. And at that age, at that very young age, the age of 10, he made a decision. He decided, it's up to me. And he started, as a little boy, to make very conscious plans. He decided he had to figure out a way to survive until he was 18. And so when he was 13, he sent letters to all 8 Ivy League colleges. And while other kids were dreaming, Richard was doing. He was studying the catalog of these different universities. For Richard, self-reliance was his answer. He saved up his money, and when he graduated at age 18, he had $1,200. He applied to Cornell, and he was accepted. And when he got there, he met his roommate, Dave. And Dave told him that he was a Christian. And they became close friends. They stayed up many nights late arguing about whether Jesus was God. During his college, his student years, shortly thereafter, he met a young lady who told him, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He looked at her and he said, you're kidding. He didn't believe her, but that didn't keep him from her. They would go on to have many accidental meetings. And in the course of a relationship that grew over their student years, she gave him a book entitled Basic Christianity, which Richard didn't read, but he didn't throw it away. He put it on the shelf. This young lady knew why she was going to school. She told Richard that she was going to become a lawyer and help the poor with their legal problems. He told her, I'm going to become a CEO and I'm going to make a lot of money. But they kept on seeing each other, and their relationship grew and deepened. And when they graduated, their relationship got stormy. And it got stormier until one day Richard told her, I will never, ever become a Christian. And you had better accept that. You have a choice to make. It's me or God. And she looked at him and said, you have made my choice an easy one. And so they parted. And that's when Richard went into the belly of the fish. A couple of months later, he was at home alone. And that's when he pulled out the copy of the book, Basic Christianity, that he had long on the shelf. He opened it up, and he did not close it until 7 hours later when he had read it. That night, things changed there in the belly of the fish. But at that point, he did not become a Christian because he said, I need more evidence. I need more reason to believe. And so over the course of the next few months, Richard read 50 different books, including the most important book, the Bible. And then one day he knew that he had a big choice to make. He could accept the astonishing truth and commit his life to following Jesus, or he could turn his back on God. Either Christ is God, raised from the dead, or he is not. He writes, "That day, in my room and by myself, I did what Doubting Thomas had done so many centuries before. I fell to my knees and said, my Lord and my God. I asked for forgiveness and committed my life to following Jesus." And I just want to ask this morning, have you done that? Perhaps God has you in the belly of the fish, or perhaps in the midst of a storm, and he's trying to get your attention. It's interesting, the book of Jonah, the issue is responsibility. And that's the matter that God brings into our, gives to each one of us. We have the ability to respond to him in our lives. Have you taken responsibility? One lesson that you will get as you read through the prophets that I'm getting loud and clear is that God is at work in the circumstances of our lives trying to get our attention. Many times the storms are enduring the consequences of our own decisions. And God in his mercy has allowed them in our lives to bring us back to a place of faith and obedience. So let's go back to Jonah. After the fish spit Jonah out, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. And you know what happened? The whole city had a revival. From the least to the greatest, there was repentance and people came to faith in God. Happy ending, right? A preacher's dream, right? Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. Jonah went outside the city. And to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord answered, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now, when we read the story around the table, one of the questions that the book has is there anything in this reading that disturbs you? And the answer from my children was that they were disturbed by the fact that Jonah was angry about God's love for the people of Nineveh. And so the book of Nineveh, or the book of Jonah, ends with God saying this to Jonah: "And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" There are so many messages in the book of Jonah, but the foremost, the principle, the one that we can't afford to miss is seeing into the heart of God. God loves people. God loves all people. And he hates evil and injustice and especially unbelief. He has created all people for himself. God is king of the whole world. And he's made the world for himself and created people to love God and love their neighbors. God is up to something big in Jonah, but God is up to something very personal in Jonah as well. God wasn't just after the whole world. He was after Jonah. And that's the message of the gospel and the message of Jonah. For those of us who are more students of the Bible, we should be rightly astonished when we read the book of Jonah. It's so New Testament. He's after Jonah's heart. It was great, you know, Jonah obeyed, but his heart still wasn't in it. He wasn't captured by the love of God. The plan for our lives is that as Christians, as God captures us, as he pursues us and seeks us out, in the cross, he wants us to see the love that God, that love that he has for you. It's very personal, very individual. And it's from that place of love. Like Jonah, here he was saved by God. He repented of his sinfulness, and he still, right, he still missed it. As we come to the table this morning, here at the Covenant Church, we practice open communion. And by open communion, that simply means you don't need to be a member to come to the table. You just need to know the love of God in your life. Have you been captured by the love of God? Have you, like Jonah, woken up to your own sin and lostness and said yes to Jesus and received his salvation? If you have, you're welcome to join us for communion this morning. As we come to the table, let's come with gratitude. In some faith traditions, the sacrament of communion is called the Eucharist, which is just the Greek word for thanksgiving. We come grateful for what God has done in our lives, that he has saved us by his mercy. As we come to the table, I want to invite everybody to come to the table in faith. Maybe it's for the very first time. Maybe you are thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm here today and God is speaking right to me, because I feel like I've been in the belly of the fish. I feel like I've been in the storm. And you want to respond to God's grace this morning, that God has sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for your sins, that he was raised to a new life that we might live a new life and have the hope of eternal life. Maybe you're just coming, like probably most of us, to remember and to renew our relationship, our commitment to the Lord. And we do that not when we come to communion. We're not coming because it's something that we've earned or achieved, but it's a gift of God's grace for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I want to invite you to come to the table in faith. At this time, I want to ask those who are going to help serve to come forward, both to serve as we take communion at Pilgrim. What we do is we come forward, we tear off a piece of bread, we take the cup, and we return to our seats with it so that we can all take it together. We also have deacons posted to the right and to the left. As you're returning, if you would like a word of prayer, you certainly may stop and ask for prayer for yourself, perhaps for a family member. Anything. We want to minister to you here at Pilgrim. Jesus said, come to this table, not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you are righteous, but because you stand in ever-increasing need of God's grace and mercy. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but that you stand in ever-increasing need for his mercy, and forgiveness. I invite you to come now to simply receive the bread and the cup, and like I said, return to your seats. If you're coming with children, children may participate in communion at the discretion of their parents. And if you need to be served in your seats, please indicate, and one of our deacons will come and serve you. So at this time, let's come in faith to receive the bread and the cup.